Sooner or later, we will all bow before the name of Jesus, and we pray that it will be sooner rather than later for us. We thank you, Jesus, for the high price that you've paid for each one of us, and we're thankful for that. We pray now that in these special moments, you'll speak to us again. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It can't be done. Have you ever heard those words? Has anyone ever said those words to you? It can't be done. They said that we would never be able to run a mile under 4 minutes. They said that we will never fly. And how about space travel? They said at one point, that could never be done. Impossible tasks that humanity has now accomplished. Sometimes we are good at doing what seems impossible. We even created a show with movies with that title, Mission Impossible. This proves to us that when we set our minds to it, we can do almost anything. But if you ever come up to a task that you simply said couldn't be done, you cannot do it. Why would God allow us to run into these roadblocks that we cannot cross? What would God have to gain? Have you ever said, "This is impossible, God. Sorry, but it can't be done." God allows us to reach those roadblocks in our own lives that we can learn something from him and about him. What does God want us to learn through impossible tasks? Perhaps we can learn this better today if we listen to someone who went through such a time. And so we invite you to turn on your imaginations with us this morning and see what we can learn today.
Shabbat Shalom. Who am I, you ask? Well, I'm wondering who that fellow was. Never heard an accent like that before. He must be from a northern tribe, I think. But me, who am I, you're wondering? I am Attai. Attai Ben Simeon from the tribe of Naphtali. Have you heard of me? Anyone? No, I suppose not. No, not me. But my guess is you have heard of Gideon. Yes, I think you'll hear about him. They may know about him thousands of years from now. They may even tell his story in faraway land. Yes, people will know about Gideon. They'll know about him because of what has happened these days. Well, from the looks of you and how you're dressed, you must all be foreigners. You're not from around here. So let me tell you what's been going on here in Israel of late. You see, we've been ruled by another nation. Midian has been ruling Israel. Why? Well, it's our fault. We haven't followed God, not the way we should. We haven't obeyed him. We've worshipped idols and other gods. Now, things could not get much worse. And some of you optimists are probably thinking, oh, Ty, it could not be that bad. Certainly not. Well, let me tell you, it's impossible that it could ever get any worse than it has been these last 7 years. Have you ever felt that in your life? Ruled for seven long years. Some of you aren't even 7 years old, I see. Imagine your whole life being ruled. 7 years, has it really been that long? Long enough for some of us to forget that it was not supposed to be like this. We weren't supposed to be ruled by some other nation. We're supposed to have God, Yahweh, as our ruler. Not like this. We actually resorted to making dens and hideouts in the caves and in the mountains. Strongholds up there. There was no unity among the tribes. Everyone was split. Divided people. If you got attacked in your city over here, good luck to you. I'm staying in mine where it's safe. We had to hide because of the raids. The Midianites would come and they would just devastate the land. We would try to plant crops in secret, try to harvest, but they would come. They would come and they'd destroy everything. Or they would take what we had sown. All our animals were taken. They were too numerous to stop. Like a plague of locusts, they would cover the land. And nothing was left. We've been starving for these 7 years. Do you think I've always been this skinny? No. I used to be strong, big. Now, starving. No food. We've had to scrape by and live off the worst of the land. Eat the worst kind of food. No. Could not get much worse. And there was nothing we could do to stop it. Nothing. Israel was indeed brought very low. Very low. We had no self-esteem, nothing to be proud of, no confidence, and no hope. Lightning, what was that? I had a theophany for a second. Nothing could be done. But then I heard rumors that people were starting to call out to Yahweh, asking for deliverance. And I thought, yeah, right. Good luck. Like God is going to listen to us now. We've forgotten him for years. 7 years we've been oppressed. Now God's going to listen to our prayers. Then get this. I start hearing about a resistance, that some are planning to rise up, that someone is planning to fight against the Midianites. And then they ask me, Atai, what do you think? What are our chances? I said two words, my friends. Mission impossible. That has a catchy ring to it, you know. Mission impossible. I said, we are going to beat Midian? No chance. Can't be done. I tried to talk some sense to them. Or maybe you think I'm a defeatist, that I have no hope. Well, let me explain this to you, since you don't look like you're from around here. Let me explain what we have against us. Number one, we have no unity. Remember, we're living in dens, we're living in strongholds. Everyone fends for themselves. And we will never unify. Well, unless we have a great leader. Maybe a great leader could, but not us. And we have no food, duh. Well, that could be a positive. While we're marching, we won't get tired from carrying all our stuff. Because we don't have anything. How are we going to go to war? No food. You should have seen my friend Atan. This guy years ago, big as a bear, strong as an ox. Now he has to run around in the rain to get wet. We're all scrawny. We could never go to war. And there's no spirit of victory here. All of Israel has been brought low. How are we going to fight? Mission impossible. Can't be done. Then I got to thinking again. Maybe if God raised up a leader, someone who could unite this divided people, someone who's a military genius, that's what we need. Someone who knows the arts of war, has lots of experience in life. If God could raise up someone to lead us like Joseph or Moses or even Deborah and Barak, man, when we had a good leader, we could do some things. So maybe. But then I heard that God had raised up a leader to unite all of us, and I got excited. So I asked, who is he? Where does he come from? Who is this great warrior? And the answer was Gideon. And I thought, Gideon? You've got to be kidding me. Gideon, he's from the tribe of Manasseh. Not exactly the best tribe out there. There's some weak half-tribe. And his family wasn't some great family in the tribe of Manasseh. Some weak family, small clan. And he was the youngest in the family. How? This is our great leader. This is crazy. Our great military leader. To unite this divided people. To deliver us from the Midianites. Gideon, give me a break. But I heard the call to arms for Israel to prepare for battle. So I went. I thought maybe if we could get enough of us scrawny, divided, low self-esteem guys together, maybe we could win. I mean, after all, 2 million of us came out of Egypt. I know we've been dying a lot these last 7 years, but there should be a lot of us left around. Maybe if we could come together, we'll give it one last chance. So, I grabbed my sword, what little supplies I had left, and I went. And then we all arrived for camp. So much for my idea of massive armies left. The only ones who came, 32,000. That was it. Maybe that seemed like a lot to you. Let me tell you, there are 135,000 Midianites. And we, only 32,000. What are we going to do? We don't stand a chance. It can't be done. Then it only gets worse. I asked Gideon, what? How do you expect to win with 32,000 starving warriors? And he told me that God did not like the number of people either. I thought, finally, God is figuring things out. We need some help. He's probably going to send some giants to come down here and help us win. Or some angels to fly over and flatten the Midianites. So Gideon announces to the tribe, get this. We have too many people for God. What? Then he tells everyone who is trembling in the heart to go home. Have you ever wondered if God would send you on a task? And he told everyone here who is trembling in their heart to go home? How many of you would be left? Well, let me tell you, they left, and they left, and they keep going. Funny thing is, the place we were camping was called Trembling. And they were trembling. 22,000 people left, deserted. Now we have only 10,000 people. 10,000 from Israel against 135,000 Midianites. I said, this has gone too far. Was God trying to make sure we were going to lose? Was he going to teach us a lesson for sacrificing to those Baals, to the false gods? I'll give Gideon credit, though. He did tear down that altar. He tore that down, and truth be told, that was why I'd followed him up to this point. But why was this happening? Was God going to punish us for using his tithe for other things? For worshiping other gods? Was God and Gideon determined that we would suffer a humiliating defeat? So, I went to go speak to Gideon. I'm older than him. I can talk some sense into this lad. I said, I can't abide this, Gideon. 10,000 people? How are we supposed to win with that many fighters? And then he told me, Atai, God agrees with you. The number for victory is all wrong. I said, okay, finally. We're being sober, saner minds are being listened to. We'll call everybody back. Maybe even bring some more. God has a plan. And he had a plan, all right. Gideon told us to go down to the river, get a drink. I said, good plan. We're all starving. You ever drink a lot when you're really hungry? Try to drown out that hunger. So we did. We all went and got a drink. Now, I just bent down and cupped a little with my hand and drank it. Didn't want to take all my supplies off. Wanted to be ready in case we were attacked. So I just cupped the water. But a lot of guys were really hungry. 7 years, remember. So they just ducked their head in there and started drinking, drinking, drinking. No big deal, right? Well, then it happened. Gideon announces, God says that everyone who cupped the water can stay. But anyone who knelt to drink must leave and go home. At that moment, my face did this. What? And so they started leaving. Atan left. He was the biggest one we had. Everyone started leaving. I said, this is insanity. This is impossible. Do you know how many were left? You'll never believe me. 300. 300 of us just cupped the water. What were we thinking? I went, stuck my head in the water again. Said, it's too late. Three hundred against the Midianites. 300 versus 135,000. Impossible. In case you're not good with math, I'll tell you that means every Israel will be fighting 450-1. Impossible. Can't be done. So, again, I go and talk to Gideon. And I explained this to Gideon in an very calm manner, I think. And then he smiled and he said, I think they could have heard you back in Egypt. He said, don't worry. God has a plan. Well, I could say, God better have some souped-up weaponry for us if we're going to survive this, much less win. God said, Atai, you're right again. At this point, I just put my head in my hands. I didn't want to hear any more. I'd been right before, and now we were down to 300. I couldn't even ask. But then he told me, God does have a plan for our weapons. He does not want us to use our swords in battle. I said, well, of course not. Why would we do something silly like that? He said, leave the swords behind. Sure. No need for swords. God wants us to go into battle. 300 starved, no self-esteem warriors, with an inexperienced leader against 135,000 using only trumpets, pitchers, and torches. That's it. Trumpets. I said, I gotta lie down. I'm getting a little faint-headed here. I don't even play the trumpet. Gideon says, He assures us that it will all work out. So, I thought about it. Impossible odds, 135,000. Not using swords, no chance to survive. What are we waiting for? I mean, at this point, why not stay? Either going to die quickly by the sword or slowly by hunger. So I thought, I'm going to go out in battle if I'm going out. So I got my trumpet. I started practicing my trumpet. I figured I could take a few of them out before they got me. Then came the call to battle. And we surrounded the Midianite camp, as much as 300 people can surround anything. And then Gideon passes along to all of us as we're waiting there in the night, one last bit, one more bit of strategy from the Lord. He says to us, God says to blow your trumpets and then stand still. I thought, oh, come on. At least let me waffle somebody with my trumpet. He said, no. Stand still and watch what God can do. I thought, this is hopeless. This is impossible. It can't be done. But Gideon gave the signal, and so we picked up our trumpets and we blew with all our might. We took our pitchers and we smashed them on the ground. Then we stood still, but we did. We cried out for the Lord. We couldn't help ourselves. We cried out and said, the sword of the Lord and for Gideon. 300 of us. That's a little more than 300 here, but let's give it a try. Let's see how you'll sound. Just pretend. Blow the trumpets. Smash the pitchers, and then we shout. Shout with me. For the Lord. Oh, my goodness. What kind of an army is this? With me. The sword of the Lord and for Gideon. Still not good enough. You've got to get this behind you. This is all we got. One big yell. I say it, then you repeat with me. The sword of the Lord and for Gideon. Now on three. One, two. Blow the trumpets. Smash the pitchers. The sword of the Lord and for Gideon. Yeah, that's what it sounded like. And I know. You're not going to believe me. You're going to call Attai a liar. But I tell you, it's true. The enemy ran. They all ran away, crying, screaming, attacking each other. It worked. I don't know how, but it worked. God did it. God did the impossible that day. And I saw it. I saw it. I learned some things that day. You see, we focus on quantity. But God only wants quality. 300, 10,000, 32,000, 120,000, 135,000 doesn't make a difference to God. Nothing. Nothing is impossible for our God. Don't you tell me that God cannot heal your broken heart. Don't tell me that. Don't you tell me that God cannot help you find a job. I don't believe it. Don't tell me that God doesn't hear your prayers. Don't tell me that God cannot heal your marriage. Don't you tell me that God cannot unite a divided people. Don't tell me that God cannot use you and bless your ministry. Don't tell me that God cannot save you. For I know. Don't tell me those things because my God can do the impossible. Is that God your God? What do you say? Is that your God?
Amen.
Ah, amen. What does God need for victory? Not a sword. Not a staff. What does he need for victory? Well, not too much, because he used me. I guess he just wants us to trust him to get the victory and just do what he asks. Seems so simple. Yet I'll tell you, it ain't easy following God. I know, because I lived it. So you may find yourself someday saying, what is God doing? Is he working? Does he want me to fail? When that day comes, don't remember me. Remember the story of God and Gideon. What am I most thankful for today? Someone asked me that today. I have no idea why. What are you thankful for? I'm not thankful that Israel was delivered. I'm not most thankful that I now have food to eat. I'm not even most thankful that we're now a united people again. I'm not even most thankful that we have a great judge to lead our nation. No. Today I am most thankful for that my God, that for my God, nothing is impossible. For my God, all things can be done. That's the God I believe in. That's the God I love. That's my God. And I hope it's your God too. Almighty Father in heaven, Lord, we praise you this day, for indeed you are a God in which nothing is impossible. So, Lord, we come before you today from all different walks of life, from all different places. We come before you because we need you. Lord, it's completely impossible for us to save ourselves, completely impossible for us to change our hearts. But this day we are reminded and we remember that nothing is impossible with you. So Lord, bless us now. May we remember from the words of your book that nothing, nothing is impossible. And Lord, the day may come when you call us to go out to war for you. When you call us to stand up to a mighty horde. The day may come when those who are trembling will leave and forsake these ranks. When that day comes, Lord, may you give us the strength we need. May you give us the courage we need to hold on and to follow you, come what may, though it makes no sense, though we can't understand and we think it cannot be done. Lord, may we trust you on that day of impossibility that comes in our lives. For you will win the battle, and you will receive all the glory. May you this day and every day be our God of impossibility, is our prayer. And all those willing to stand for the Lord said, Amen. Amen.